A new report from a group called Issue One is called The Price of Power and has in it details about how the chair and the ranking members of the most influential committees in the House of Representatives are increasingly getting a lot of pressure from party leadership to throw money back at the National Republican Congressional Committee, the NRCC, and the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, under something called the party dues system. We want to talk about the price of power. We're going to do it with Michael Beckel. Michael joining us in studio. He's manager of research, investigations, and policy analysis at Issue One. He's tweeting at MJ Beckel. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on the new gig, by the way. So
thank you very much.
It's interesting. Thank you for giving me this huge thing to read, this whole report. I don't think we can go through the whole thing, but just give us a sense, first of all, party dues, what are they?
The phrase party dues sounds innocuous, but the current system is really anything but. People who want to rise in the ranks of each political party, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, the party expects you to be helping the party out. And the sums involved have risen to astronomical levels. According to Republican Congressman Ken Buck, who just published a tell-all book exposing some of this, the NRCC expects chairmen of the top committees in Congress to be raising $1.2 million for the NRCC for party dues over the next 2 years. And if you're a chair of one of the lesser committees known as the B committees, you're expected to raise $875,000. And the Democrats have similar amounts in their party dues system.
Senator Buck was in here to talk about that book, and one of the things he mentioned was that there is actually a price list, if you will, of the expectation of how much money you're supposed to raise. From the standpoint of what the party chair, committee chairs do, and this goes both sides, right? This is not just the chair, but also the ranking member. What is the expectation? What is it that they are in a special position that they can do? And how does this, if in any way, affect what they do as chairs and ranking members of these committees?
Well, the parties see the top Democrat or top Republicans on these committees as being in good positions to leverage that power to be able to rake in more campaign cash. These are people who help decide the fate of legislation. These are the people who help set the agenda. And one of the ways that they raise this money is reaching out to the special interests that they oversee, that they regulate. And obviously, there are a lot of donors out there who want to have access to these lawmakers. And if you can write that check and get into the fundraiser, you might be able to mingle and push for certain ideas or cases. But when it comes time to crafting legislation, there's an unhealthy relationship with the members and lobbyists and special interests all kind of connected in this entangled web. And one of the reasons we published this report was to draw attention to this and draw attention to the fact that some members of Congress are trying to speak out against this, to say there should be a clearer break between campaign contributions and the policy that comes out. Representative Buck talks about transactional giving and how we need to take action to cease that, or to make a clear break between when you're giving money for ideological reasons or when you're giving access to seek a specific legislative result.
Mm-hmm. And I called him Senator Buck. You're right. It's Representative Buck. I don't know why I called him Senator. I think because he ran for Senate a couple of times. Your executive director, Nick Penniman, says that at its core, the party dues system reeks of extortion. Is it because it is not specifically written down where the money's coming from, where it's going? Is that part of the problem? Is it the track of the money, or is it the number, is it the amount of money that is the problem?
Well, these are people who have jobs that they are supposed to be serving their constituents. They're mm-hmm. being paid by the taxpayers, and the political parties are a private entity outside of what's written into the Constitution about how these people are supposed to advance. And a lot of Americans, I think, would expect the top legislative leaders to be subject matter expertise, to be able to hold the floor, to be able to hold these hearings and do all the legislative work. And every hour that they spend fundraising and worrying about fundraising really takes them away from doing what their constituents want them to be doing. And you add on top of that the fact that the parties are trying to get them to raise larger and larger and larger amounts of money, that causes an unhealthy dynamic and takes members of Congress away from everything else that they could be doing with their time.
Michael Beckel with us in studio. Michael, manager of research, investigations, and policy analysis at Issue One. We're talking about the price of power, a deep dive analysis into how political parties squeeze influential lawmakers to boost campaign coffers. You got some history in here, too. It's a rather extensive report, but it goes back to Newt Gingrich, Representative Tom Davis, at one time former Representative Martin Frost. You got R's and D's in here, but there's a quote here from David Jolly, If you are on an important committee, you're expected to have a larger role in fundraising for the party. How much has this changed over time? How much of this is more of an issue of today as opposed to, say, 10, 20 years ago?
Well, we had to reach out to a lot of former members of Congress to get their perspective on that very question, because the party dues numbers are not public numbers. They're well known within party circles and are used to incentivize members to give more, to, you know, shame members into giving more. You talk to Republicans who walk into the NRCC headquarters here in Washington, D.C., and they describe it as a big wall of shame where you can see who's on the leaderboard and who isn't and how much you've given or how much you haven't. And so these numbers, based on leaked internal party documents, we know have been going up and up and up in recent years. And I think that's part of the problem and one of the reasons that you hear members of Congress on both sides of the aisle bringing more attention to this issue and complaining about the way that the current system is broken. Zach Womp, a Republican from Tennessee, a former congressman who is now the co-chair of the Issue 1 Reformers Caucus, talks about how members of Congress don't like this, the donors don't like this, and members of the public really don't like it. And we're hoping that there can be some critical mass to change this, because if the House wanted to, they could pass a rule tomorrow to say members, their committee assignments, who gets to be the chair on certain committees, they could pass a rule that says fundraising prowess and fundraising ability wouldn't be able to be taken into account when those decisions are made.
Well, I can understand why Congress doesn't like it, because it takes a lot of time. As a matter of fact, I mentioned earlier, Senator Al Franken's got a new book out, and he says it's about 3 hours a day on average to sit down and make phone calls. And that's a lot of your time.
That is a lot of your time.
A lot of time. But I wonder what it is that donors don't like about it, aside from the fact that it's not going to where they originally intended it to go. What's their problem with it?
Well, they've got an endless number of lawmakers who could be calling them and asking for money.
I see.
There are no limits when it comes to writing these checks, and the parties in recent years have been able to ask these donors for even more money. And I think there's some donors out there who would rather be investing that money in other ways and other donors.
Or getting something for it.
Yeah.
There's not a lot coming out of Congress these days, it seems. But is it also because it's being directed from the committee all of a sudden to the parties themselves as opposed to, say, members of the committee? Is that a part of the problem?
Well, I think there's donors out there who understand that members of Congress on both sides could be asking them for money. If it's a contribution is a way to help maintain that relationship, they're feeling an obligation to give that money or a pressure to give that money. And as you said, these members of Congress end up spending countless hours every week raising money, not just for their own campaign committees, but for the parties in return.
I know the focus is mostly on the House. Is this also an issue in the Senate?
It's less of an issue in the Senate than in the House, in part based on the Senate is a smaller body. They've got six-year election cycles. When we were interviewing former members of Congress and reading some of the recent tell-all books that I've written, members of the House seem to be raising this issue a lot more, saying that the dues have really gone up. And again, the phrase party dues, on its face, people, you know, might pay dues to any trade association or membership organization, but the sums involved these days are really astronomical for the top legislative leaders who want to be channeling that energy into other activities other than simply dialing for dollars.
Michael, where's the website where people can read this report?
Issue One's website is issue1.org.
That is issue1.org.
Yes.
Okay, issue1.org. Thanks for jumping in the studio today.
Thanks really for having me.
That is Michael Beckel. Michael is manager of research, investigations, and policy analysis at Issue One, talking about the price of power, the money behind committee leadership in Congress. This new report, it's extensive, but it's worth a look. And if you want to check it out, as he mentioned, go to issue1.org. You can tweet to Michael at MJ Beckel, B-E-C-K-E-L.